Yay. Man, you bringing a blanket? No sleeping over there. I know that's right. Two young men. Wow. All right, amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 3. As you're turning there, I am Mark chapter 3. As you're turning there in your copy of God's Word, hope you brought a copy of God's Word. I am, man, I feel worn out. Any of you tired today? Are you tired? You're tired, amen. So not just me. I've gotten off of that levothyroxine, Synthroid, for low hormone, and I was taking that stuff. It's making my blood pressure high. I already take a pill for blood pressure, so I wasn't going to take any more for blood pressure, so I thought I'd do a little self-diagnosis and figure out. So I left the Synthroid off, and then my body said, hey, I'll make some more hormones. First week or so, I was feeling great, but I think everything's kind of balancing out. And today, I feel like I'm about two steps behind. Amen. I mean, we're singing, and I'm needing a bouncing ball to keep me on time. You know what I mean? But anyway, we'll try to get through it together. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Let's get in here to Mark chapter 3. We're finishing up the last part of chapter 3, beginning in verse 31. I'll invite you to stand as we read from God's inerrant word. This will be the last time you get up till the invitation. So let's stretch those legs, get that blood flowing. Amen. I want to bounce up on your toes a couple of times. I'm going to try to get with it here. God's word reads in Mark chapter 3, beginning in verse 31. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him and said, oh, I love this. Man, if you mark your Bible up, this is one to underline right here. Behold my mother and my brethren. This is a good place to mark it. Put a couple of stars. Put an amen in the Bible right here. Verse 35, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. And Lord, we pray that you help us get a grasp of this passage. Lord, for some, this will be a much-needed word from you today. But for others, this will be a call of repentance. Lord, even for some, this is a call of salvation today. But Lord, I pray that we would acknowledge you today. We would worship you today as we have through song and through giving, through prayer. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open to receive the truth. And that, Lord, if we struggle with the truth today, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just massage it into our hearts so that we can come to grips with it. Lord, help us be the church you've called us out to be. Help us be the Christians you've called us out to be. Help us be the disciples that you've placed us here to be. Lord, may this passage be a step in that direction today. We pray for those that are here that are lost without you. They do not know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Perhaps they've had a religious experience in the past. Perhaps they've even been baptized in a church. But Lord, they've never connected the dots of their sin, their need, and your gift of salvation. And we pray this would be the day, the hour, the moment that they receive you and enter into this eternal life with you. We praise you today for all your goodness and your grace. Lord, be with us as we go through this together. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. May He add His tremendous blessing to it. This is one of those messages where, man, if you're just, you're hurting, you're beside yourself, you're in need, you're lonely, you've got problems and pressures on you, this is a message that might speak to you really deeply. I mean, might really help you. might really get you going, man, might really get you headed in the right direction. On the other hand, though, there are some folks that hold so closely and dearly to their biological families that when I get done with this, you're going to be offended, right? But let me tell you something. Let your offense, I mean, you can be mad at me, that's all right. Just don't be mad at my wife, amen? But let your offense, let the Holy Spirit deal with that, amen? I'm just the messenger, I'm telling you. I've looked at this passage, I've studied this passage, and when I first got into this passage, I was like, oh, come on, it don't mean that. Can't we massage it, twist it, do... No, you can't. It's just what it is, amen? It says what it says. So let's look at the blessing of family here today. Now, where have we been? We have already seen the scribes accusing Jesus of aligning with the devil, filled with a demon. Why are they doing that? Because of their jealousy and envy of Jesus. Why are the scribes jealous? Why are they trying to derail Jesus' ministry? Why are they trying to get him to stop? Because he teaches with authority. Because the sick are healed. Because the demon-possessed are set free when he preaches, when he comes. And generally, when he gives the gospel message, people are changed, man. And that doesn't happen when they do their deal. And so they're kind of all upset about it. And they want him to stop it, right? In the midst of the exchange with the scribes that have come down, the highfalutin scribes that have come down from Jerusalem, and Jesus responding to their charges, his friends send out, these are Jesus' friends send out an urgent call for his immediate family to come. Why? Why are they sending out this call? Well, they can't get him to stop. Stop what, Pastor? They cannot get Jesus Christ to stop doing his ministry. They can't get him to stop. They can't get him to eat. They can't get him to rest. And so perhaps Jesus' friends thought his family can calm him down. They can get him to eat. They can get him to rest. And when the family arrives, they stand on the edge of the crowd and they call for him. Probably one of his apostles or disciples intercepts their message and conveys it to Jesus, saying in verse 32, "Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee." They're out on the outskirts of the crowd. They can't get to you, but they want you to come to them. And so in response to the multitude's statement in verse 32, Jesus presents his vision for a new community where spiritual kinship and not physical relationship is the fundamental basis for family. See, I knew it would be quiet in here. I knew it would be quiet. Amen? Amen. I want to share with you three things about these four or five verses here. Number one, to be a disciple, carrying on the theme that we've been in the last three or four weeks, to be a disciple is to embrace God's invitation. His invitation to a spiritual family. Verse 34, "And he looked round about on them, the multitude that sat about him, and he said, Behold my mother and my brethren." See, Jesus' invitation, don't miss it here, his invitation is in the form of a declaration, and it is a generous declaration, invitation in nature. "Behold my mother and my brethren." Behold them. Those to whom Jesus honored with his statement had by no means reached the pinnacle of spiritual perfection. Yet he lays on them that term, those labels, that immediate family title. Isn't that amazing? Any of you in here reached that pinnacle of spiritual perfection? I think we're all kind of just struggling through it, aren't we? Amen? Trying to show beggars, a bunch of beggars, trying to show each other where the bread is. Amen? That's kind of where we're at. I want to tell you it was generous in nature. Let me tell you, the 12, his apostles, whom he's chosen, who he prayed up on the mountain and had that prayer meeting with, those 12 at this time in the gospel narrative, and remain sometime after the gospel narrative, in Jesus' own words, were men of little faith. Yet he calls them his immediate family. Yet Jesus was not ashamed to announce them and others in the crowd as blood immediate family members. Former General and Secretary of State Colin Powell tells the story of a young African-American soldier who was asked if he was afraid on the eve of going into battle. And this is what he said. He said, "I'm not afraid." And he said, "The reason I'm not afraid is that I am with my family." Talking about his unit, right? He nodded over his shoulder to the rest of his unit. He told the general at the time, he said, "That's my family." He said, "We take care of one another." We take care of one another. Amen? Let me tell you something, friend. The members of Jesus' church should be able to say the same thing because we have all benefited from Jesus' generous invitation. If you're saved today, amen? If you're saved today, as a family, we offer with a generous spirit the gospel to a hostile world. Come on in. Have Christ. We're not afraid, church. Are you afraid? We're not afraid. And if we are afraid, guess what? We can share our fears with one another and each other will pray for us. Amen. Oh my goodness, if we're afraid, man, our prayers can be salved. They can be soothed by the prayers of the righteous because we are together. The pain, the tragedy, the heartbreak, the disappointments of life are shared abroad, friends, shared abroad with our family. Amen? And when I'm talking about family, I'm meaning church family. That's what I'm talking about. To be a disciple is to embrace God's invitation to a spiritual family. But secondly this morning, to be a disciple is to sometimes redefine our family. And this is where some of you will get angry. Well, offended. Well, mad. Something like that. Amen? I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. Maybe it won't happen to you. Amen? I've been praying for you. Praying for you all week. To be a disciple is to sometimes redefine our family. Behold my mother and my brethren. I got to tell you, looking at this as a son, as a husband, as a father who finds great joy in my family, I struggled with Jesus' answer, who is my mother or my brethren? Jesus, they're on the outskirts of the crowd. That's where they're at. And Jesus asked the question, who is my mother or my brethren? Verse 33. At first, his words seemed to be unloving. His words seemed to be unloyal, almost disrespectful to his mother who stands off in the distance outside of the multitude of the crowd. Oh, but further looking into this, there's something else going on. Something else going on here. I began to think, who else will struggle with this passage? I'm struggling with it a little bit. Who else will struggle with this passage? And then it kind of came to my mind, the Lone Ranger Christian will struggle with this passage. That person who's an independent individualist, right? They don't need much of anybody. They're going to take care of it all on their own. They're probably going to struggle with this passage. The sentimental mothers and grandmothers who in their minds have these expectations of these family gatherings and how they're going to take place on a regular basis and how everything is going to go perfect and it's our family and this family and maybe struggle with the passage a little bit. Let me tell you something, church. If you're not ready to shoulder the truth of this passage, then Jesus' definition of the family may create more problems for you than this definition solves for you. But if you will apply the truth of this passage, then listen to me, you will reap the blessing of God's extended family, because there are going to be times in your life when you are lonely, when you feel betrayed, when you're brokenhearted, when you are hurting, and nothing else is going to help it except God and His family. So as we think about redefining our family today, does Jesus have to deny his immediate family in order to invite this multitude or the whole world to be his family? No, he doesn't deny them. Of course not. Jesus doesn't deny them. His invitation, his declaration, is an appropriate answer to the situation. Let's be refreshed and reminded of what's going on in verse 22. Enemies, the scribes, coming down from Jerusalem with malicious intent, have already accused him of what? Of a satanic alliance in order to destroy his ministry. In our present passage, in these verses, friends with good intent are using his family to divert him from his ministry. And so the question is, what do the enemies, what do the friends of Christ, of Jesus, what is their strategy? What does their strategy have in common? Well, their strategy is to put an end to his ministry. Now, Jesus' enemies are wanting a permanent end to his ministry, but Jesus' friends, they want a temporary end to his ministry. You need to stop. You need to eat. You need to rest. So Jesus, with this appropriate answer, is telling the scribes, he's telling them, that are still hanging around from the previous encounter, you cannot stop this ministry. And with his appropriate answer, Jesus is telling his friends and immediate family, you cannot control my ministry. You can't control me. You can't control it. So the question that comes to mind is, why can't the scribes, why can't his friends, why can't his immediate family stop? Why can't they control his ministry? Why can't they do it, church? I thought about this. Why can't they do it? Why cannot they? They can't stop it. They can't control it. Why won't he let them do this? Why is Jesus so, man, he's just so forceful on the point? I'll tell you why. It's because of the spiritually sacred nature of the bonds. Of the bonds. The spiritually sacred nature of the bonds with the people to whom Jesus ministers to. Me and my wife have a sacred bond as husband and wife. We have a sacred bond with our children. But you've probably not thought this through, that together, those of us that make the church up here this morning, our bonds are sacred as well. Our bonds are sacred as well. And it is so, man, a redefinition of family is easy once we recognize the sacredness of our bonds. But this is where the rub comes. Recognizing the sacredness is difficult to do in the time in which we live. Did you know that? It's just hard to do in the time in which we live. This is a, man, we're in the church age, right? We're on the back end of the church age. Jesus is coming back, amen? Right, he's coming back. We're living in a sinful world, right? We're living in a world I never thought was possible 20 years ago. But here it is. Here it is. Some of you old-timers can attest to this. In the last 115 years or so, the structure of the family in our culture has changed radically. Oh, that's an understatement, isn't it? At the turn of not this century, but in the turn of the last century, the extended family of father, mother, children, grandparents, cousins, other relatives who lived together and worked the farm or family business has all but disappeared, has it not? The extended family has been replaced by the nuclear family with father and mother and children living at home. But the nuclear family, very little revolves around the home. Parents are employed outside the home, right? Children are schooled outside the home, right? Most cases. We are all socialized and entertained outside the home. Grandmother and grandfather live alone in their own home or in a retirement center, often at a distance from the rest of the family. And then you bring it up to 15 or 20 years ago, and the nuclear family has succumbed to the attacks of culture, has succumbed to the attacks of selfishness and sin, becoming things like the same-sex couple family and the transgendered family. Well, I don't know if I'm going to be a man or a woman today. I don't know. I just don't know what I'm feeling today. I'll make that choice maybe after breakfast. Put on the high heels or the boots. I hadn't figured it out. Transgendered family. All of this social change based on sinful choice, based on selfishness, based on a disregard for the things of God, inadvertently downplays and subtracts from the sacredness of these bonds that we have as biological families, but also the sacred bonds we have as a spiritual family. I Googled nuclear family this morning as I was going over this message for, I don't know, the third or fourth time. I probably rewrite the thing too much. I mean, the thing's done on Wednesday. I ought to just let it lie, but I can't let it lie. I go back over it. Was this right, man? I need to double check that. Going through here. This morning, I Google nuclear family, and this thing pops up, and it's a YouTube parody. I should have clued in. It said offensive. But I clicked on it anyway. And it was I watched about 30 seconds of it and got sick. It was an actor that was playing the mother. Then he was playing the father. Then he was playing the two kids. And it was a countdown to the destruction of the nuclear family. And it was where we're living, man. It is the culture of the... It sickened me to the nth degree, and I thought, I'm going to get to a point where I'm going to not be able to preach. I need to turn this off now. So I turned it off. Nobody has... Lost folks, backslid folks, have lost the appreciation of the sacredness of the family, whether it be biological or church. Jesus, in his declaration, in his invitation, he's bringing out the sacredness of these bonds that we have one with another in his church. So redefining the family is basically this. It's recognizing the church as family. Hey family, how you doing? You doing pretty good? It's recognizing the church as family. In the church we have a spiritually sacred family, which is just a spiritual form of the extended family of 100 plus years ago. Our church family includes this. It includes the nuclear family and love bond with adopted grandmothers and grandfathers. It's great to have all the grandparents in the church, amen? Right? It includes single parents. It includes unmarried and widowed people and cousins by the dozens, amen? Welcome to my family. It's awesome. It's Jesus' family, cousins by the dozens. The family of God, as defined by these verses, is one of the greatest assets. It's one of the greatest weapons as we go forward attempting to counter the sinful culture in which we live. Let me tell you something. We can, together with God's help, with the Bible in our hands, the power of prayer at our disposal, take on the secular. We can take on the lost. We can take on the hell-bound values of our day if we'll stick together as the family of God. So do we have to deny our human families? No, but we've got to affirm. We've got to affirm the family of God. Amen? To be a disciple is to embrace God's invitation to a spiritual family. To be a disciple is to sometimes redefine our family. But thirdly today, to be a disciple is to grasp that doing God's will is the blood that binds us. That's the blood that binds us. Verse 35, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. I have often said in church. I have often said about churches. I've often said about church members. I've often said about families in the church. Well, this one's gotten offended. This one's got bent out of shape. It's going to hurt the church. Pastor, why is it going to hurt the church? Well, we just need to be praying. It's going to hurt the church. Well, Pastor, why? Well, because blood, it's been my experience that blood is thicker than church membership. And friend, based on this passage, it shouldn't be. It should not be. It should not be. So we have an immediate family member that gets bent out of shape. They get that burr underneath their saddle and they're going to ride their posse on out of town. What do? They're part of our biological family. I mean, man, we get together every Sunday afternoon. We get together twice a month. We get together every holiday. We go on vacation together. What are we going to do? You're going to put your arm around them, love them. And if they're wrong and the church is right, you're going to let them figure it out. Amen? You're going to let them figure it out. Well, Pastor, man, they'll get offended if we don't go. Hey, man. You know how many folks I've offended over the years? I hear somebody's offended at me, I just tell them, take a number, get in line, we'll be with you as soon as we can. Amen? I mean, it's okay. People get offended. Sometimes they're in the wrong, right? And they just work through it. Amen? To be a disciple is to grasp that doing God's will is the blood that binds. Jesus' own mother, his own brothers, at worst, are embarrassed by Jesus and think he's absolutely out of his mind. And that man, he needs help. That's at the worst. At the least, they think he's in need of rest and refreshment as they perceive themselves coming to his rescue. We got to get down there. Your brother, he's lost it. They've tried to get him to stop and eat for 12 hours now, and he won't do it. I mean, he's pulling an all-day ministry adventure. People are getting changed. Demon-possessed people are getting free. Sick people are walking. Blind people are seeing. This has got to stop. He's got to rest, right? And so they hustle down there like they're going to stop him. But Jesus' response to his immediate family, his own mother, his immediate family and his multitude family is this. It's if you want to relate to me, if you want to help me, everybody's so concerned, they want to help me, Jesus is saying. You want to communicate with me? You want to stand out there and yell for me? You want to do all that with me? Then you need to do the will of God with me. Amen? You need to do it with me. See, Jesus is inviting his family. He's inviting his friends. He's inviting this multitude. And he's inviting you today to do God's will. Amen, church? How do we do that? Through service. How do we do that? Through ministry. How do we do that? Through good works to each other. Friend, look around. Look around. God has placed you here to serve the folks around you. Look around. The membership of this church is your family to serve. Amen? And as we do God's will together, we relate to Jesus and to each other in such a spiritually, in such a fulfilling, in such a peace-producing way, church. Amen? That's what happens to us, see? This has been my experience, and maybe my experience is not the common experience, but this has been my experience. And maybe you can relate to this, maybe you can't, but just try it on. Let me get... That ain't water, that's coffee, and it's good, all right? But anyway, blood relatives are very close, aren't they? But let me tell you something. Spiritual relatives can be closer. That's been my experience. Spiritual relatives can even be closer. I feel like my own father is downtown in the hospital. I mean, he's so close to me. Our chairman of the deacons here, he's like a dad to me. He has helped me so much. He loves you so much. And I know He loves His pastor. My heart breaks. Why does your heart break? We're just close. I'm as close to Him as my own dad. And I love my dad. But I see Brother Mike far more than I see my own father. See my dad maybe 2 or 3 times a year. See Brother Mike on a weekly basis. I cannot keep from growing spiritually close to Him. Amen? He's doing the will of God. I'm doing the will of God. We're doing the will of God together. We're going to be close. It's not an indictment on my family whatsoever. My parents are in a good church in Duncanville, Texas. It's not an indictment against them. They're good people. I'm just closer here to some folks than even my own immediate family. Does that make sense to you? I don't feel guilty saying that. I'm not going to confess that as a sin. That's just where it is based on this passage. Amen? Blood relatives are very close, but spiritual relatives can be even closer. See if this has ever happened to you. Christians who go back to family reunions. Christians who go back to family reunions often find themselves growing farther and farther apart from relatives whose last name they share, but with whom they have very little in common. Very little in common. And this is what normally happens to me. You can only do small talk for so long. Amen? This is get a little awkward. We've talked about that for the third time. Right? That's what I'm thinking in my mind. Small talk soon evaporates and memories begin to take over. And oh, the memories are great. Amen? Remember when you dumped the canoe over and we had no food for the rest of the day and it floated all the way down and we lost all of our cokes and sandwiches and everything? Man, I remember. Do you remember when you set the alley on fire and your mom gave you a butt whipping and your dad gave you a butt whipping and Uncle Jerry gave you a butt? Remember that? That's good, man. Good memories. But after several hours, although the memories are precious, the bond they create is limited in depth. Limited in depth and range. Now, what are we going to talk about now? Because you over there, you're over there, and you're finishing off that six-pack, and I'm over here, and I don't do that, and you're trying to get all socially lubricated up so we can continue this conversation, and I've got nothing else to say. Yeah. Yeah. Socially lubricated, right? I got to get all that in me so I can have a conversation, you know, with you because, hey, man, let's just... Now, hey, you put me somebody at a family reunion, they're serving in their church, they're doing something for God, I can sit and talk to them for hours. Amen? For hours. Well, tell me what your Sunday school teacher's telling you. Well, tell me what the chairman of deacons, how he's leading this group here and doing that and bringing benefit to the church and ministering to the widows this way. Well, tell me about what the men's group is doing, what the ladies' group. Tell me about it. Amen? I'm all for it. Amen? Right? Blood relatives are very close, but spiritual relatives can be even closer, right? Let me tell you something about the family of God. I love my biological family, but the family of God has so much more to offer. The family of God. It's a network of relationships created by common obedience to do the will of God. The family of God, it has so much more to offer. We are melted together by the person of the Holy Spirit, by the love we have for Jesus, by the love we have for each other. Man, our lives intersect one another. We pray for one another. The family of God has so much more to offer. It is motivated by a ministry of service. Friend, this is Jesus, hands and feet, the family of God. Amen? So how do we get in it? Well, friend, you got to get in it. Man, if you're not in it, whoa, you got to come into the family. It's by birth. Amen? We call it the second birth. That's how you get in the family. You come to a point in your life where you know that you're a sinner. You got to be a sinner before we can get you a Savior. You can't just, you know, go through some kind of religious motion. You got to get to the point where, hey, I'm in need. I'm inept. There's nothing I can do to reach God. I'm a sinner. Once I know I'm a sinner, oh, friend, once that is nailed down in your life and in your heart, that I am a sinner condemned to a place called hell, now the Savior can come into my life, take care of my sin, redeem me for eternity, and set me on the straightened path, the narrow way. Amen? There are folks that go through life and they believe some things about Jesus, that He died on the cross, that He resurrected the third day, that He sits at the right hand, that He's coming back. They believe these things just like the devil and the demons believe these things, but they have never made the connection that Jesus is their own personal Savior and Lord. And so they just are religious, but they've never been changed. Amen? And I'm talking about the change. Oh, you've got to get the change. That gets you in the family. And the family, oh man. Family ain't perfect. The family fights sometimes, squabbles, argues, bickers. Sometimes parts of the family go, sometimes it comes back, sometimes it don't come back. But friend, the family is awesome. Amen? The hands and feet of Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You. And Lord, we're thankful that You've placed us here in this family. Lord, we love You today for this family. For New Hope Baptist Church, this family of disciples, this family of believers together. Lord, thank You that You've bound our hearts together. Lord, we're not perfect. You know that. And we struggle and sin and fail and fall. But Lord, we're thankful for the grace and the mercy that we find here. We're thankful for the love and acceptance that we can come back to when we've struggled out there. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for saving us. And Lord, right now we lift up those that need to make decisions for You. Perhaps some here today need to receive You as their personal Savior and Lord. Perhaps others just need to come and pray on the altar. Lord, others might need to come join the church. Others need to come and be a candidate for baptism. Lord, whatever needs to happen today, we pray that we would honor You. We would honor You with decisions for You. Lord, may we all receive Your word today. If we're struggling with it, I pray Your Holy Spirit would help and see us through. Thank You that Your word does not return void, but accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent. It's in Your name we pray. And God's people said, let's all stand all over the sanctuary as we enter into this time of invitation. You come today. I'll be down front. You come and receive Christ. You come and pray. The altars are open.